paid into Medicare for decades. Don't spend retirement limping. The Joint Relief Institute treats joint pain fast. It's covered by Medicare. Call 708-888-0000.
Joseph Lindsley is standing by in Ukraine. Joe, hello to you. I want to share a text that came in from one of our listeners by the name of Elkie. And here's what it says. I listen to Joseph Lindsley with Bob every morning. I hope that you can pass along a message of positivity to Joseph. Monday's visit was not what my friends and I are used to. Please let him know that there are people in Chicago rooting for him and the people of Ukraine. Yes, I guess there was a little frustration in your voice earlier this week, and with good reason, right, Joe?
Yeah, Bob, and hello from Lviv. As you read that text from Elkie Friedman of Northbrook, I'm holding in my hand a card from the same Elkie.
Oh, really?
Because I mentioned the other day, Jim Gamash, a volunteer and who came to Ukraine to help in June from Chicago, and he went back home. He had some fundraisers at his country club, Stonebridge Country Club, and he returned here this past few days to help and to bring donations. And so I met with Jim yesterday at a Georgian restaurant here in Lviv, and he handed me a card from Elkie. Hmm. And so this message of encouragement, she had met with Jim before he came to Ukraine, and among other things, in this lovely note, she said, WGN Radio is a blessing. And she also included a package of euros to help me in the cause here. So duže ďakujem, many thanks to Elkie for this these words of encouragement and support. And I did hear from Jim and others that, you know, there's such a community of people listening to this broadcast every day. And so I did hear that whenever people can tell some different tone, sort of sense a different tone in my voice, they text and analyze it, or they call each other, or over their coffee in Chicago, and so that's great to know that, you know, we're all together in this. The volunteers, the people who listen, the people who communicate, the people sending their prayers, and people sending drones and helping in every different way. So thank you, Ben. And I, you know, Monday was, you know, I mean, we had heavy news. Many, you know, the several deaths of volunteers and soldiers that were well loved throughout Ukraine. And the news gets very heavy. And on Monday in particular, it was, you know, I was frustrated with, you know, what had happened at the G20. It was so astounding to not even be able to say that Russia is the aggressor, you know, that the fact the United States went along and the West went along with a statement instead of walking out and say this is unacceptable. And they issued a statement that Russia approved. And so that was very disheartening. And Bob, you'd asked me that question, you know, talking about President Zelensky's frustration with not having enough supplies for the counteroffensive. And, mm-hmm. you know, I think one benefit of because these broadcasts are every day, I think it's good when people in the States can hear that there are moments of real frustration. You know, there's moments where I'm not going to be polished and cheerful because there's less reason to be that way. But I do appreciate so I'll never give false optimism, but I will try to be as cheerful as possible. And, speaking on that same theme, yesterday I heard from the American editor of the global edition of the Spectator magazine. And, the Spectator is the oldest magazine in the world. It's published in the UK. Actually, the American editor, Zach Christensen, started his career at WGN Radio. And he told me, he said that today they were publishing a huge story from Boris Johnson and, you know, the former British prime minister, current member of parliament. And Boris, he once edited The Spectator. He was just in Lviv a few days ago. And the story at The Spectator, which I linked to at UkrainianFreedomNews.com, you can click the yellow banner. He also is extremely frustrated. And the story is called "Why Aren't We Giving Ukraine What It Needs?" And he describes his visit here a few days ago. He went to visit many military hospitals and rehabilitation centers. He saw so many guys who've lost their arms and legs and saw them not moping around, not wallowing, you know, still with a fierce spirit. And so in the story, the former prime minister of the UK says, you know, what Ukraine needs. They need man-portable air defense systems, a.k.a. man pads, to take out Russian helicopters. They need more Patriot missile systems from the U.S. to stop these supersonic missiles. They need the ATACMS, these long-range missile systems that are still being withheld by the U.S. And, you know, Boris was so inspired by the conversations he had. And so he wrote, the story is very fierce. Probably you can detect in his story what you could detect in my voice earlier this week. And he says, do not believe for one second that these Ukrainian soldiers or the wider population of Ukraine could be persuaded somehow to lay down their weapons or to do a deal with Putin. They are not fighting at our behest and will not stop because we say so. They are fighting a war of independence because they refuse to bow down to terror and because they want their country to be free. There is only one thing they want from us, and that is the weaponry to finish the job. And so I simply do not understand why we keep dragging our feet. Why are we always so slow? How can we look these men in the eye and explain the delay? And very practically, he explains, if you look at the counteroffensive, Ukrainians, if they can advance 20 to 30 more kilometers, they will be in that city of Melitopol. And once they get to that city, they will have the artillery range to command the entire land bridge that connects mainland Russia to the Crimean Peninsula. So, you know, they're not so far from actually having something extraordinary. And the as the former prime minister, Boris Johnson said at the end, the last line of the story, I have asked it before and I ask it again. What the hell are we waiting for? And, you know, I know the Boris Johnson is a polarizing figure in the UK and other places, but he is universally loved here in Ukraine. And, you know, we talked about Winston Churchill a few days ago. And, you know, in peacetime, people had a lot of problems with Churchill. He made a lot of mistakes. When it came to recognizing the greatest threat of evil that the world was facing, Churchill realized it, and people here respect Boris Johnson because whatever else people think of him for other issues, the Ukrainians are grateful for his fierce voice, realizing that Ukrainians are winning, that they can't do it, but that they need more assistance to make this happen more quickly.
Well, let me just underline here, Joseph, how much we appreciate and understand your perspective there, even when you're frustrated. We get it. We appreciate the honesty in your reporting. And when I worked at Channel 2 with their news from the newsroom in the early 80s, they had a slogan, it's not pretty, but it's real. And I think that's how we can describe a lot of your reports, and we do appreciate that.
Well, Bob, and I appreciate this. You know, not only this, the chance to have these conversations and to check in, you know, sort of give this journal of life in the war, but also especially to see the community, as I've mentioned, that has formed with the audience that listens not only in Chicago, and but also around the world, and you know, for the first time in human history. You know, people far away from this fight for freedom can actively participate in it, and that's really what this is. It's an effort of the people against tyrants. And we saw once again for the second night in a row, Ukrainians have hit Russian targets in the Crimean Peninsula. We played that little song yesterday, Vastopol, about the first Crimean War, and last night it seems that Ukrainians hit Russian air defense systems in Crimea. So we're seeing something pretty extraordinary. We also have a pretty good indication that two nights ago, the Ukrainians used the Storm Shadow missiles, which they're made. It's a joint French-British project. But those missiles are here because of leadership of people like Boris Johnson. And actually, the UK, unlike the US, has explicitly given Ukraine permission to use these long-range missiles. And now, 2 days in a row, they're hitting Crimea. And, you know, I think if that had happened maybe a year ago, there would be a lot of unease here. What is Russia going to do? You know, how are they going to react to this, you know, the next 24, 48 hours? And, of course, probably they're going to try something, but there's not a spirit of unease as I go around Ukraine today.
Good to hear. Joseph Lindsley in Ukraine will continue our dialogue tomorrow at this time. Thank you, Joseph.
Bob, tomorrow I'll talk to you from a train somewhere in Ukraine. Until tomorrow.
All right. Travel safe.